you and I can rest with a quiet assurance in God's wisdom and justice when it comes to judging unbelievers. And loved one, ultimately, you and I must take God at His word. He has promised there will be no more mourning, no more sickness, disease, no more pain, no more hatred or violence, no more tears in heaven. He will bring it about.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hello there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace. Today we continue with part 7 of our series entitled, Only a Heartbeat Away. And we've been talking about death, heaven, and hell, and what the Bible says about those things. Today, as I share this podcast, as I share this lesson, I remember family members, friends, associates, fellow ministers, people close to me over the years who have had terminal illnesses, or who have died tragically or suddenly, prematurely. And when we visit people in hospitals or when they go to a hospice, we know that medical science is doing everything possible to fight those illnesses in our loved ones and friends. And medical science, doctors, nurses, they're helping people to remain as healthy and live for as long as possible. And many people are praying for these dear people, asking for the Lord's healing intervention. And yet we're also aware that people die. We pray for healing. And praise God, there are times when God does wonderful works of healing in people's bodies, and they go on for many years alive on this earth. And yet others do not get healed. What's the deal there? I mean, why? We don't know. These are things that God in His infinite wisdom only knows. So facing mortality can be a very difficult thing for us, right? For sure. And not only for those who are suffering with the disease. In many cases, it's even more difficult for we, the family members and friends, who remain on earth. Think about it. Watching people deteriorate, seeing them daily become weaker and thinner and emaciated, and then they die. That can be a soul-draining experience. And I've experienced that a number of times myself, as I know that you have, dear one. Each of us has an innate hatred of death and dying. I mean, after all, God created us to live. Life is a good thing. But death is an intrusive reality that first invaded the planet following Adam and Eve's sin against God. Death is an enemy. Death destroys life. This built-in hatred of death that we have is one thing that makes a focus on heaven so vitally important. Because in heaven, death and dying will be things of the distant past, never again to rear their ugly heads. In heaven, there will be only life. And life. And more life. So let's not forget, however, the grace shown in the deaths of Adam and Eve and all subsequent human beings. After all, death, as a judgment against sin, prevents human beings from living forever in a state of sin. Think about that. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God assigned an angel to guard the tree of life. This was to protect Adam and Eve from eating the fruit of the tree of life while they were yet in bodies of sin. Think about this again, how horrible it would be to live eternally in such a state of sin. Ooh, no. Through death, then, God graciously saw to it that every human being's existence in a state of sin had definite limits and an endpoint. And by sending a Savior into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, God made salvation possible to all people, to all, that is, who would believe in Him. Those who believe in Jesus Christ and put their faith and trust in Him will live eternally at His side in heaven. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 25, verse 8, we are told that God will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. I like that Hebrew play on words in this verse. The ancient Jews often spoke of death as swallowing up the living, almost like a great big mouth opening in the ground to devour people into the grave. But our good God promises that one day He will reverse things so that death itself will be swallowed up. When that happens, death will be forever gone. The Apostle Paul himself, an Old Testament scholar, he was very well aware of Isaiah 25, verse 8. And Paul applied this very truth to our future resurrection bodies. Here's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Also, just as Isaiah 25, verse 8 promises that the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, we read in Revelation 21, verse 4, that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Oh, loved one, we are in for a big change. Those of us who watch cable news, and I hope we don't do it often, those of us who watch news on television or on the internet receive regular reports of disaster, death, mourning, sickness, disease, accidents, murders, but loved one, in heaven, all is life and life. And more life. So we will never again be alerted to a sudden and deadly accident of a loved one or friend. Never again. No one will ever succumb to an incurable disease ever again. We will never again attend a funeral service. There will be no more hearses. There will be no more ambulances. There will be no more cancer wards. There will never again... Never again will we have to say a final farewell to anyone. We are headed for a glorious, deathless environment. Going back into history, just in the Bible, public mourning was a big deal for the ancients. It's not for us today, but it was for them. And for that reason, the promise that in heaven there will be no more mourning would have caught their attention for sure. Now, in our modern day, mourning over someone's death is primarily an individual or family matter in which private tears are shed, and that's natural. But in Bible times, many people were involved in very visible and audible ways, And for quite an extended time, they showed their grief with drama, with loud weeping and wailing. And they did it as a sign of mourning. And people would put ashes on their heads, they tore their clothing, walked barefoot, they shaved their beards off. So in modern days, in our day, a man shaving his beard off is no big deal. But in Bible times, almost all men had beards. So shaving let everyone know that a man was in mourning. One of the most bizarre aspects of mourning in Bible times is that families would often hire professional mourners. It's true. Professional mourners. Now, these people actually made a living by weeping and wailing at funerals. What a job. Once they were hired, they would just kick into high gear and grief mania would begin. Oh, my Lord. I can't imagine. Now, in our modern day, we do not set any particular parameters for mourning. I mean, we mourn as long as we mourn, and that's that. But in Bible times, the traditional time of mourning was about 7 days. If the person who died was an important person, such as the patriarch of a family, the time of mourning might go longer. A person of high stature might be mourned for a very long time. I mean, think about it. For example, the beloved Joseph in the Old Testament was mourned for 70 days. Think about that. Though people mourn differently than they did in Bible days, mourning will be with us as long as death continues to be with us. It's true. And this means we will continue to mourn right up to the time when we enter heaven. But once there, once we cross over, we will never again experience mourning. For death will be gone forever. Isn't that amazing? I'm looking at Revelation 21, verse 4. And this verse assures us that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And likewise, in Revelation 7, verse 17, the Bible assures us that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So notice that both these verses use the phrase, every tear. This is a very accurate translation from the Greek. God will not wipe away tears in some general sense, but rather every single tear, as if he pays special attention to each individual believer. Because he does. This is highly significant for many, many things here on earth can bring tears to our eyes, right? But in heaven, not one single tear will ever be found on our faces. Amazing. So having said this, I think it's wise to make an important qualification here. It's not as if in heaven we'll have some cause to cry, after which the Lord will he immediately intervenes to resolve the issue so that tears are removed. No. Rather, what's communicated is that tears will be completely foreign to the heavenly experience. We will have nothing to cry about. In place of tears will be perpetual rejoicing. There will be no more mourning, no crying, no pain, no suffering, ever. We see the transition that takes place from Genesis to Revelation. Death, tears, and mourning entered the human race in the first book of the Bible. These things resulted from Adam and Eve's rebellion against God. Death, tears, sickness, disease, mourning are then banished from human existence in the very last book of the Bible, the effects of the curse will finally be removed. God will make all things new again. I've been asked a number of times over the years how we could possibly, how could we possibly have no mourning in heaven while knowing that some family members and friends are not there with us? It's a good question. How could we not mourn knowing that some are suffering in eternal hell? And that is not an easy question to answer. Part of the answer may be found in the fact that God may selectively purge some of our memories so that perhaps, we do not think of anyone who might be in hell. We can base this idea on Isaiah 65, verse 17. That speaks of God's creation of a new heaven and a new earth. It says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind." The former things that shall not be remembered might include loved ones who rejected Christ and are now in hell. Such purging would be an act of grace and mercy on behalf of the saints in heaven. But hear me now. I want to be careful to emphasize something. That I do not think that this verse means that God will purge every memory we have of the past. After all, many of our memories of the past are good memories, including the memory of how we became Christians and how we came to understand that Jesus died for our sins. The fact that Christ's resurrection body retains the crucifixion scars will apparently serve as an eternal reminder of the sacrifice he had to pay for our salvation. So as well, we will continue many of our present relationships in heaven. So it makes good sense that we would retain precious memories about those relationships. Now, in addition to the fact that God may selectively purge some memories, we need to also remember that God has promised that he will take away all pain and remove all our tears. It is in his hands. Amen? It's his responsibility. We may not be fully aware of how God will do it, right? We may not. But we may trust that God is good. He is all good. He has the power and ability to do as he has promised. It is a concrete fact that we will be serenely happy in heaven. God has promised it, and he will bring it about. Now, more generally, in the heavenly sense, as we will each be aware of full justice of all God's decisions, too. We will be aware of that. We will clearly see that those who are in hell are there precisely because they rejected God's only provision for escaping hell, choosing instead the path of sin, suffering, and death. You and I will see things clearly from the divine perspective. We will see that God's divine love does not coerce people against their wills into the kingdom of God. No, no. God invites all. But many reject that invitation. Those who reject God's invitation to receive Jesus are eternally quarantined from heaven. And all in heaven will fully understand God's perfect justice in this quarantine. Each of us will also see God's perfect justice in the various degrees of punishment among those who are consigned to hell. It's true. This assures us that the Hitlers or the Stalins or the Maos of human history will suffer much more than, for example, a non-Christian moralist. God is perfectly wise and just. He knows what he's doing. You and I can rest with a quiet assurance in God's wisdom and justice when it comes to judging unbelievers. And loved one, ultimately, you and I must take God at His word. He has promised there will be no more mourning, no more sickness, disease, no more pain, no more hatred or violence, no more tears in heaven. He will bring it about. So let me close by saying this. Life on this earth is full of pain, right? It is. It's full of suffering. It's full of hatred, tears, sickness, disease, and death. But life in heaven will be absent of all these things. Let's also keep in mind that life on earth is short. It's like a blade of grass. Here today, gone tomorrow. But life in heaven is long. It's forever. This ought to put wind in our spiritual sails, especially during earthly depressions and doldrums and blue days, right? We read in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, "There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong, through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Hallelujah! Let's pray, dear one. Heavenly Father, Abba Father, in a world of suffering and pain, we are so thankful for your promise of a future that will have no such suffering or pain. In a world of a pervasive death, we are thankful for the promise of a future that will have no death. As we live day by day, we ask you, Father, we ask you to help us to keep things in perspective and enable us to see that even in our present suffering, you are working in our lives to bring about good. Good. We praise you, Father, for your work in our lives. Even when it hurts a little. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray and give you all the praise and glory. Amen and amen. Oh, dear one, thank you for listening today. And please do go to whatever platform you listen to our podcast on, whether it be Apple, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon Music, Google, whatever. I listen to Apple myself. So, for instance, if you listen to Apple, go to our podcast page, Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. Go to the bottom of the page and please give us a 5-star rating. Be nice. Give us 5 stars. Give us a good rating. Write a nice little short review. And then that'll bring more eyes and ears to our podcast. We are endeavoring to reach more and more people throughout the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. And then also tell your friends about the podcast. Tell your Christian friends and your non-Christian, non-believing friends about the podcast. I believe it'll be a blessing to them, as well as it is to you. Thank you so much, dear ones. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may He always have a smiling countenance coming your way. And may God grant you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May He give you laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, home, relationships. And may God grant you great favor and blessing everywhere you step foot, all the days of your very long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.